So I'm thrilled to have an opportunity to share with you all a little bit about our work. I do want to acknowledge a few people. Jorge Alonso is here as a co-author on this presentation. Jason Stowers is here, and I'm not sure if Aaron is, Aaron Vissman, but he's also part of this presentation. So we're thrilled to have this opportunity. Vision. So we have no disclosures to declare. We do want to acknowledge funding from the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services for this study. We all know that MSM continued to be disproportionately impacted by HIV and STDs, but we also know that a lot of what we know about the epidemic among many populations, including MSM, really is founded on early epicenters of the epidemic. We know a lot less about HIV within the Southeast, for example. So this study was designed by a community-based participatory research partnership to really explore sexual risk and identify potentially effective intervention approaches to reduce risk among MSM. And this is a very important process, piece for us in North Carolina with our CBPR partnership. We really want to go from knowledge generation to applying that knowledge for intervention. And we also are committed to the idea that blending perspectives, community members themselves, that really have insights into the real lived experiences, know how to recruit, know how to engage individuals into studies, and then plus community level organizational representatives who really have in the field aggregate information about or aggregate experiences based on just service provision and practice, as well as really academic researchers and their sort of scientific perspectives. All this blends together to create sort of a better understanding of health phenomenon, and then if we have a better and more informed understanding, then perhaps more effective interventions. So what we did is do focus groups with African American, Latino, and white MSM and gay men in North Carolina. And we really wanted to look at just, you know, what's going on for these men and what kind of interventions would be effective. And the state of North Carolina was sort of, you know, thinking about the epidemic and said, you know, we need to figure things out a little bit better. We need to start to think of what we can do to make an impact on this epidemic locally, based on locally collected formative data. So we asked a lot of questions about what it means to be healthy. What do you hear when you think of HIV and AIDS? What about alcohol and drug use? I mean, just to really get a good understanding of what's going on for the men in North Carolina and at-risk men in our community. So these were focus groups, audio recorded, transcribed verbatim. We used grounded theory, sort of just really trying not to have preconceived notions, but letting the data speak and seeing where it would go. We also had two meetings, once we had preliminary themes developed, we had two meetings with African American men and Latino men to say, are we on the right track? So our community-based participatory research partnership was analyzing these data, but we wanted to do a lot of sort of member checking, number checking with folks in the community. We also actually had a community forum, and the idea was to sort of take our revised themes, go to this forum, which sort of represented State Department of Health folks, as well as the North Carolina Pride group, laymen from the community, and community-based organization, ASO representatives, to really say, okay, what does this mean? Should our priorities in North Carolina be? We used a facilitated trigger process of really saying, you know, what do you see in these findings? What ways do they make sense? What ways do they not make sense? What can we do about these findings? And what is our next step? What should we be doing down the road? But really focusing on sort of an empowerment approach that we're not just looking at, you know, sort of looking at these findings and saying, great, but really moving towards some type of action. So we had nine group focus groups, 88 participants, and this is a slide that illustrates where our participants said that they were from. So we did some in the western part of the state, central part of the state, and down at the coast. As you see, it's sort of a little bit more rural around in that area, and so most of our people came from, our participants came from sort of around Wilmington, North Carolina, if you're familiar with that area. Our mean age was 27. About 30%, 31% were African American, 38% Latino, and 24% white. And I will make a caveat that we really wanted to focus on African American and Latino MSM, but we decided, given the money and the potential to bring in white MSM, we decided to go ahead and do that kind of approach. So I'm going to go through the themes. I'm going to have some quotations along the way as well. But first, participants really just said sexual health becomes a priority when it's older, is sick, or has a scare. And I thought this was pretty interesting because men talked about, yes, I've had a scare, I thought I had something, I went to the health department, went to my doctor, realized I did it, and then went back to sort of the risk-taking behaviors that I had before. We also learned that, you know, not surprisingly, that some communities have low levels of knowledge around prevention of HIV and STDs. And these specifically included Latino MSM, non-self-identifying MSM, and online MSM. Manhood was sort of expressed as being affirmed through sex. So men who engage in same-sex behavior are labeled as not real men. And for men who self-identify, for non-self-identifying men, sexual risk can actually be seen as a way to overcome external and internal perceptions about their masculinity. The quotation that was pretty powerful is, being black and gay, I have to cope with being perceived as less than a man. It hurts because society tells us from when we are very young, boys must be men and men must have sex with women. Poverty, racism, and immigration threaten a man's masculinity. A couple quotations on this from our participants. Sometimes a man can't do what he is supposed to do, you know, make money. Every man feels it, homosexual or not. And when you aren't making it work, you feel bad about yourself. Men are supposed to make it work. Another participant noted, so you go out and find someone who wants you bad, or you conquer someone sexually, get what you want, prove it to even yourself that despite everything, you are a man. Latino MSM actually reported high levels of loneliness and social isolation. It's important to note that many of the immigrant Latino community in North Carolina tends to be in more rural communities. So Latino MSM reported being isolated from one another because of really just the lack of community, the idea that they're just, you know, distant from one another. In rural communities, there really is a lack of spaces to congregate and just a fear of discovery. So there's lots of fear for immigrant Latinos in North Carolina, just around documentation issues, but also around orientation issues. So around what other communities think, as well as what their internal Latino community. It's kind of interesting, we were working with a group of men, Latino gay men, sort of out gay men, and they were living in rural communities, and I was sort of surprised, like, why are you living here? But, you know, they have social networks, they have family, cousins, brothers, and they also have a job. So there aren't a lot of opportunities perceived opportunities to leave these communities. African-American MSM report feeling isolated from their church. That's pretty well documented. Stereotyping may lead to risk. Sort of the idea about certain men being hot or that type of thing, or hypersexual. And then also, there's a prejudice within the community, but many men can find, excuse my language, but I'm serious, it is easy to find and ask to tap, and many men who are looking for a black man aren't worried about using a condom. So within these groups of men, people really did document or talk about ways that people are stereotyped and what that means for risk. Condom use is antithetical to sex as an expression of love, trust, and closeness. Thank you, Patrick. I'm going to say it straight up. There is too much emphasis on the sexual act, but what about the meanings of sex between men? You could say that I should use a condom, but what if I'm not ready? I'm meeting other needs by having sex with another man. That is a big step for me, expressing who I am with all of these conflicts and negative images. You need to consider who I am, where I am from. Acknowledging who I am by having sex with another man is a step in the right direction. So maybe people shouldn't jump to the fact that I do or don't use a condom. So sort of the idea of the useful, the what it means for men who are sort of going through the out, you know, coming out or coming to terms with who they are, you know, and we don't really necessarily deal with that, at least in HIV prevention much of the time. Condomless sex is eroticized. The perceived role of alcohol and drug use is complicated. I think people just say, I got drunk last night and I let him come inside me. But the truth is, if they didn't want it to happen, it wouldn't have happened. And I think this is a sort of an interesting consideration that as we sort of think, look at sort of European literature and US literature, that it is a very complicated, the sort of idea of prevention within the context of drugs and alcohol use. Support for MSM and preventionists in the field through community organizing and skills development. Can I go back? I'm sorry. Yeah, okay. And then focus on developing culturally congruent programming to reach men who live in rural communities, who speak Spanish, who do not go or are not found in gay bars or clubs, and men, MSM, who are sort of we label as sort of more hidden. We also had a forum, as I mentioned, and we had representatives from a variety of organizations, health departments, and the lay community, and really focused on sort of some priorities, and that is the need for natural helper intervention. So really relying on social networks of men and leaders within these social networks to diffuse information and offer guidance, mentoring programs, more, you know, focusing on more general, comprehensive sexual programming, the need for chat room-based interventions, a coupon system, for example, for free testing at non-typical, non-health department testing venues. Men really said, you know, I'm not really that comfortable going to health departments for testing. What we'd really like is to be able to go to an urgent care center but not have to pay for a test. Use of social media, and then obviously skills development. Oh, one of the points that was kind of interesting, because you don't really think about this now, but really our African-American participants really focused on sort of the need for very African-American-focused types of resources. So even telephone, hotlines, websites, that kind of thing that sort of threw me, because I was thinking, well, I mean, there are resources out there, but men said they really were looking for something that really spoke to them more precisely. So, you know, the epidemic has definitely evolved, and so our prevention needs to evolve as well. And nowhere is this need more profound than in the Southeast, which we have really a disproportionate burden of the epidemic of HIV and STDs, and yet we don't know that much about the lives of these men in, for example, North Carolina, Georgia, South Carolina. And so these data provide a little bit of insight and have actually guided our state in some planning processes. For example, we're setting up safe spaces in 8 regions throughout the state to really give men space to explore sort of the coming out process in a safe place. So this is actually a paper that is in press currently. So thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Rhodes.